Just run the route, finish it. That's why I love watching Darren Waller. Darren Waller never puts his hands up. He just runs the route. If he gets
missed,
he just runs back to the huddle. You know what I mean? That's why everybody tries to act like he's a bad teammate. Like he's sitting out because he doesn't like Carr. Like he's the only one who doesn't like get stupid. He just runs back to the huddle. You know what I mean?
Doesn't throw a fit. Okay.
And the next time, because he knows the next time it's going to be right to him. You know what I mean?
Like, right, right.
He knows.
Right. But I mean, to be a tight end versus being a wide receiver, it takes a different mentality. It takes a different attitude, you know? So. I'm about to hit the intro.
You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
This play used to be run with Henry Ruggs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
God, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer.
Everybody, we are back. It is Take Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. We are back. You guys already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Got my hair all stuck up here. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Go ahead, hit the like button if you like it. Right? Hit the like button if you like it. Go ahead, hit the like button if you dislike it. Subscribe. Leave a comment if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you do like it. Right, guys? So make sure you guys do that. Make sure you guys manscaped.com too as well. You know, you're probably going to see an ad later on, manscaped.com. Discount code TDL. Make sure you guys support us that way. Also, you can support us with the shirts. I'm rocking it right now. Tape Don't Lie, the sweater. See it?
It's fresh.
Nice. It's nice. I'm going to be representing.
You washed it?
Yeah, I washed it too. This is washed.
Okay.
Yes, okay, there you go. So it's all right. You know what I'm saying? I gotta represent the Senior Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I got my Senior Bowl ticket. So, you know, we're gonna have some live draft. Me and Matt Holder are gonna be there. So check that out. Me and Matt Holder are gonna be breaking down the Senior Bowl. We'll probably do some live podcasts, get some interviews. Hopefully, get some good stuff for you guys.
That's gonna be huge for the channel. That's gonna be crack.
Yeah. Because we're gonna get access.
That's legit.
We'll be in the field. You know, me and Matt have already been there because what happens is when you go to the Senior Bowl is the starstruck part of it the first time. The first time I went and had Mike Mayock on my plane. I was like, oh my God, it's Mike Mayock. This is back before he was the Raiders guy. But but you know what I'm saying? Like you see Mike Mayock next to you, and then you see David Shaw sitting there and they're talking to each other, and then you know, that Pat Shermer on the way back home. So it's just that starstruck part of it. But once you get to the next time, it's like, yeah, whatever. Let's just get this media.
Yeah, let's watch the drills. Let's watch the one-on-ones here.
Yeah, okay? Let's watch the one-on-ones. Let's get the interviews done. Let's have some prepared. You know, I just gotta get ready for those players pretty soon here. So, but yeah.
So hold on though. Don't tell me that you're punting the season and you're getting ready for the draft.
No, not fully.
We got some content. Content right here for the people. Correct
me. Yeah, I'm not fully punting the season, but. I'm just telling you what we're gonna do because you know me and Matt, we're booked, we're ready to go. So
let's go.
we're going.
So be excited for that Raider Nation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into this. Okay, we're previewing the game. I feel like it warrants a little bit of a discussion about just the ramifications, just all the COVID stuff happening.
Yeah,
and what effect that has on this game, right? So I think we should talk about that. That's probably more pressing of an issue than like the tape study. I have a whole bunch of guys on my tape, right, that aren't even playing in this game because they have COVID.
Oh, well, we don't know. So, I mean, they got till 2 o'clock tomorrow. So that's the crazy part.
Right, so who knows? Exactly.
Who knows who's going to play? You know, because that's what I did. I mean, I still broke down this game like these guys are normal. That was my plan. I'm breaking down this game like these guys are normal, right, because we don't know who's going to play. I mean, because a lot of these guys are vaccinated, so it's a 24-hour test, and all they have to do is, like, what, test positive 3 times or something like that. I don't know those rules, but off the top of my head. But I don't know. We don't know who's going to play. But, you know, to me, you know, breaking down this offense, I don't think it's going to be that much different no matter who the quarterback is. So, I did a little bit like a play breakdowns a little bit more than actual, you know, quarterback breakdowns, even though I did break down Baker Mayfield a little bit, because I still have a feeling he's going to play for some reason. I feel like he's going to get cleared, and I feel like he's going to try to play because he's going to – I mean, he's playing with a torn shoulder. He's not going to let COVID stop him from playing. So I'm sure he's trying to fight that, trying to take a test. He's doing everything he can to get ready for this game. So I would be surprised if they gave him them more time that Baker Mayfield's not going to play because he's a tough dude. That's one thing.
Baker Mayfield's going to play because he was one of the first people out on the list, right?
Yeah, he was one of the first people out. So that's what I'm saying.
He's got the best chance of clearing for sure. Yeah. So that jumps into kind of, I see a lot of fans upset about the game being postponed. Yeah. They're saying that it's shafting the Raiders. So if you're telling me that Baker Mayfield's going to get cleared, then yes, that does shaft the Raiders.
Oh, 100% is shafting the Raiders. This is definitely, it's entertainment. I mean, this is the NFL is. You want the quarterbacks to play. I mean, and I always come back to this. You know, everybody centers the quarterback so much, right? We all overrate the quarterback. We put the losses on the quarterback. There's so much loss on the quarterback, right? Oh my God, the quarterback's terrible. The quarterback wins. Oh my God, he's so great, right? I always talk about Lamar Jackson when they lost to, they beat the Browns 16-10, I think. I think it was the Browns on national TV or whatever. And he threw 4 interceptions and he got interviewed after the game. And I was like, why are they interviewing him? And that's what's happened. So we center the quarterback so much. If Baker Mayfield was playing, this game would still be on Saturday. But since Baker Mayfield isn't playing, right? Because let's be real, if Derek Carr wasn't playing, they would still do it. I don't know. Maybe Marcus Mariota. I don't know. But
on the flip side of that, okay, with the quarterbacks in the room going down, it was Baker Mayfield who was out. Case Keenum. It was like, okay, Case Keenum's actually not terrible. It might not be much of a drop off. Okay, and I think that we've seen Case Keenum play solid this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
He went to the AFC Championship in that system.
Okay, it's NFC. The chances of it being competitive. Okay, there's still a chance that it's competitive. It's unknown, and especially when you're a team having to deal with a quarterback change. That sucks. Like, that's the toughest thing. Even if they're both pocket passers, they're going to take different windows. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be bothered by different things. So it's not like, oh, you can say, oh, a pocket passer is like preparing for the next pocket passer. No. So a quarterback change is tough for a defense. Okay. And then it goes down. Now Case Keenum's out. And I forget. Oh, it was Nick Mullins that was supposed to be in. I just think that the NFL has seen in what happened last year with the Denver Broncos when they were down to like their 4th string quarterback or whatever. Obviously it wasn't an actual NFL quarterback. It was a wide receiver who played quarterback in college that they threw in there, and the game was not competitive. Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think that for the NFL, it's about making the game competitive. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I completely agree with the fans who are upset because yes, the Raiders did get shafted on this one for sure. They're giving the other team time to rest up it's not like the Raiders are dealing with this. The Raiders are good. So they're giving the other team time to rest up, heal up, and then shortening the Raiders' subsequent next week's schedule. So it is shafting the Raiders for sure. It just adds to the difficulty level. I think that there should be enough players out, though, that the Raiders hopefully are able to take advantage also of the Browns having to probably quarantine and not be able to like be in person and just having to like do Zoom calls leading up to this. Hopefully the Raiders can take advantage and pull out the victory. I still want to see the Raiders win, even if we're talking about draft status at the end of the year.
Yeah. I think with this game, it's going to be interesting how they come out. I mean, I feel like they kind of sparked a little beef here, you know, with that Will Compton tweet anyways. So, I don't think the Browns are gonna no matter who's playing. I you know, there's a little pride on the line with that tweet that Will Compton put out there. There's some serious pride there, in my opinion, because I mean, he basically kind of called them out. No matter how you look at it, I mean, it's anytime, anywhere, the Browns, except the Browns, right? That's kind of
right.
No, that's kind of. You know, you're calling a team out. I mean, Myles Garrett does not have COVID. That's all I know. That's all I've been thinking about all week is that Myles Garrett does not have COVID.
I wish I could save comments from the last one. Someone was like, if this is what the offensive line looks like against Frank Clark, Myles Garrett is going to tear Derek Carr's head up. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Right? I mean, Clowney's out.
Clowney's out. But Garrett went out, so the chances of him passing, yeah. But Garrett is the best defensive end in football. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well,
bar none.
TJ Watt
is a rush linebacker. TJ Watt's the best rush linebacker in football. Okay, but but like as far as like an even front defensive end,
okay.
who can play, you know, at 270 pounds, you know, and really mix it up as far as being a defensive lineman, right? That's yeah. Myles Garrett at the defensive end spot. He's the best in football. He's a freak athlete, right? And it's scary watching him because it's not always like, oh, this is incredible talent. It's like, that's scary what's happening on the field, right? So, I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy. He can still keep on improving, but he's still a terror right now as it is. So I'm definitely going to be covering him in the breakdown. What about you? What about offense? Who else besides the quarterback position in flux for the Browns?
You know, I cover the run game. I really like the run game. You know, I really like D'Ernest Johnson. That is somebody that I really like. I really like him as a player. Like, I wanted to look up his contract because, man, can he run the football?
What number is he?
Number 30, the guy who ran the ball all over the Broncos. But it's not just the Broncos game. After that game, they keep giving him the football. I mean, he had some really good runs against the Ravens last week. I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, that dude can run the football. And I think that's how a lot of NFL teams miss on these guys, because some guys are just great runners with the football in their hand. They see things, and they might not be the fastest guy. They might not be, you know, the biggest guy, and they might not come from a big school, but they can just run the damn football. And, you know, I saw that from the Lions guy today. He ran all over the Cardinals. I forgot his name. But I mean, he came out of nowhere. He was some undrafted dude, and he had 100. I think he had 100 yards today. Had 100 yards last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, some guys can just run the football, and you know the Browns found one. And I'm interested to seeing when he what he's doing in this offseason after watching his tape, because that dude is 1,000-yard back. And then they got Chubb too. So I mean, that's what the Raiders have to focus on. They have to stop the run game. Folks. If they don't, then
Chubb. You're talking about this other guy. Chubb is a beast. You know, come on, that's a tough tackle.
Yeah,
hit
yeah,
a home run on you if there's a crease. You know, he can hurt you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but D'Ernest Johnson, he brings the pain. So that's how they mix it up. So D'Ernest Johnson brings the pain, and then Chubb brings the wiggle and both. So that's the he brings the speed, pain, and wiggle together. That's what Chubb does.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the run game is special. I think the pass game is where you want them to pass the football, because they don't have a lot of guys outside of Jarvis Landry. They really don't have anybody who can win outside.
Landry also is on the COVID list as last time I checked.
We'll see. I think he was early too. So that's what I'm saying. We don't know. But I mean, if Jarvis Landry's out for them, it's going to be a long day for them trying to pass the football, because I don't think other guys can't separate like at a high level. It's going to be tough for them.
Before we even get into your, you know, breakdown, I'm sure it's going to be just great run blocking, fantastic run blocking, and just questionable passing the ball. You got to make this team pass the ball, right?
Like, yeah.
That's, you don't even have to watch the film to know that, right? Like, this is not a high octane passing offense. So it's about stopping the run.
Yeah, 100%. You got to stop the run first, right? You got to focus on the run. I'm going to show a little bit of how the Bears stopped it. I think I showed it on an earlier episode, but I'm going to show it again. Of what they did to kind of stop the wide zone. But what the Browns are doing, they're running a lot more power. And then they're running a lot of, you know, kind of flat throws and stuff like that to kind of minimize a little bit of Baker Mayfield and his mistakes. So what they're doing is, you know, they're running the play action and then, you know, getting linebackers out of their position, because what they usually do is hit the, I'll show it. I mean, they hit the digs and stuff like that, but yeah, they're mixing it up. So they can keep moving the football, but I just think that the passing offense is just not that, you know, special right. at all. So,
all right. So while you get that going, I'm gonna, you know, shoot us over to one of our sponsors for a quick commercial break, and then we'll get back to us.
Did you just shave your balls and beehole?
Isn't it time you got your smooth back? Get the Lawnmower 4.0 from manscaped.com.
That ad always gets me rolling some areas. All right.
You weren't expecting that from Manscaped, were you? Okay.
No, it always gets me off guard, bro. All right, so let's get into this. Let's get into this offense a little bit, though.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's see some.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, cool. All right, let's start with this run game. All right. So Nick Chubb, he's a special back. All right. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. The dude is just special. Right. We're gonna be get a lot of slow motion runs. You see the wide zone here. Boom, you know, always beautiful, makes the cutback. He always reads this perfectly, right? He rarely reads the wide zone wrong. Perfect wide zone back. He ran it in Georgia to effectiveness. That's why he's perfect for this offense. You kind of see how he made that cut, hit that cut back, right? So let's watch him again. Like I said, they run a lot more counter now. So, you know, you see like a little power counter run, right? Misdirection, boom. And then, you know, you see how he just reads everything perfectly, right? He's always patient, boom, always takes the outside, takes the leverage, reads it, and then has the speed to get around the corner, get an extra, you know, 7 yards, right? Turn 13 into 20 because this is his special talent. This dude's just a freak, right? I mean, this is basically what he is. He's a freak of nature, right? You see the misdirection again, right? Same blocks. I mean, they love these to run this type of block, right? Patience, look how he set it up. He sets up Janovich, boom. Then he can cut back, break a tackle, still get five. So, I mean, this dude's just, he's just a special back, man. There's no other way to explain it. Special, special talent. And, you know, these Georgia guys, they love to have this stand-up stance. I don't know if they argue with their new running back coach, but you see it again. They go reverse, and he's going to read this perfectly. You see the patience once again. He always attacks the line. You always see how he always attacks the line before he bounces, right? Boom, attacks the line, sets up his block. Then you see the jump cut this way. Then you see the jump cut back. Then he cuts it outside. It's just nice, Brad. Right, and that's why he's top five running back right there. He's just special.
Filthy run.
Right, he's special with the football in his hand. But, you know, D'Ernest Johnson, I'm telling you, he's no joke too. So you see him here, you know, he got the wide zone. Great job. He's just decisive. Cut back, right? He's just hard to tackle. Boom. Athleticism. You see the jump, you know, come back here. You see how he just hops over this guy. Boom. Athleticism. Just underrated. Right, he's pumped. He came to play. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to show out on national TV on Thursday Night Football. Right, boom. See the power. Nice little power run straight up. He's a whole good cutback there. Right, probably get a cutback to hit that earlier, but he still saw it with some good vision, good blocks. D'Ernest Johnson, he's legit. Right, you see here outside. A little more of the wide zone, outside zone. The Browns love to run, right? You see just perfectly breaks a tackle, gets upfield. Like I said, he brings the pain. I'm saying both these guys are legit. And you know, D'Ernest Johnson is not on the COVID list, right? You see it once again, gets skinny, breaks a tackle. It's just good. I can go watch one. Right? Boom. Gets skinny, breaks the tackle from the defensive tackle. Just legit running the football, right? And, you know, but I love how the Bears play this, right? So you see how the Bears are playing for this wide zone, right? And I know the Raiders don't have Khalil Mack, but, I mean, they could have. But see how Khalil Mack keeps that outside? We'll come back to this, right? See how he plays this? He's playing for the wide zone. He's trying to, you know, he's playing the bounce, basically, right? So then Roquan Smith, he comes and plays what they call, you know, the straight up design of the run. And then you see the back end, defensive end right here, he's playing the cutback, right? So he's playing the cutback. Just kind of breaks it down. You got to keep that gap integrity against the wide zone.
Yep.
You see it one more time. Here we go. Same thing, right? See the same thing. So see, he's trying to play the bounce. You got Khalil Mack, he's playing the cutback. I mean, there's better blocking here from the Browns. So he's able to get upfield a little bit, but you still see how they're going to be able to keep this up about 3 yards, right? Just good play. And that's what you want to see, right? That's what you want to see from the Raiders too. I mean, they're going to have to come play their run, maybe play some under fronts and make this happen. So let's talk about the Browns passing game here, right? And the Browns, like I was talking about, what they're doing lately is because teams are playing these play actions and playing all these play actions they've been doing since Kevin Stefanski's been there. They're hitting these running backs and these tight ends underneath a lot more often. So we'll check out this play. I really like this design. See, this is a, you know, they get all these drags going one way and they open this up for Kareem Hunt. All right, nice little play. Get him right there. It's a first down, though, right? And you see it here, the tight end screen. Tight end screen's the same way. So I really like this design, right? Because you get the play action, right? And you get the crossers. See the crossers, right? You get Patrick Queen. He's right there in the middle playing that crosser. So you're coming back. He's playing that crosser right there. But that leaves the tight end wide open, right? Because he's so worried about these play action crossers. So that's how they're getting teams right now. Boom, quick 9 yards, right in the red zone. Close to a first down, but that you know, Patrick Queen was so worried about the linebacker, so worried about the crosser from Jarvis Landry, because I mean, that's what they like to do on play action, hit those crossers, play action. He's so worried about it. You see it once again, he's pointing, but it's too late. He already missed it. Here's Austin Hooper. So, I mean, that's how the passing game is working right now. You know, they love these screens too. Screen, get Nick Chubb on the screen. Get a quick little 5 yards on first down. And they love sticks. So they do like 800 sticks variations. I've never seen these many sticks variations in my life, okay? But they love some sticks, okay? And I think it's, you know, when you run sticks, it's more because you're trying to minimize what you're trying to do on offense when you don't have a lot of talent outside, when you're running all these sticks variations, because you're trying to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick, okay? Mm-hmm. So sticks is simple. Right. You know, your simple, quick outs, quick sticks. Right. But, you know, sometimes they run go routes out of it. But you see the tight ends are doing the same thing. So the Raiders have to be prepared for it. When they're in this lineup right here, this 12 personnel, this look right here, it's probably sticks. Yes, they're sticks. Right. You see it. Quick throw to Austin Hooper on the sticks route. So you see the route formations. You can watch it one more time. I mean, sticks is super boring, but we're watching it. There you go. Quick sticks right there.
I think the beauty of that play call, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting your breakdown here, but the beauty of that play call is it takes that corner out of there. That corner can't drive and like trap that out for the tight end, you know, because he's got a stick on his side too. So it's a great play. It's a great quick game play, you know, unless you're playing like press man-to-man coverage, you're not beating sticks.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, the Raiders playing cover three, we're going to see a lot of sticks. They're going to run the sticks a lot. But like I said, they got a lot of variations off it, right? But I like how the Ravens played it this time. As you see Bowers, he comes off, right? But there's sticks to this side. But, you know, based on the coverage, Mayfield, he came to his left, right? But you see how Bowers, he comes off, kind of takes away that route, makes, you know, Mayfield not just get rid of that football. So, yeah, so I mean, there's defensive adjustments you can make to that, but I mean, it's something that the Raiders have to be ready for. And this offensive line is good. I don't know. I don't know who's going to line up, but you know, they got Bill Callahan over there, so they're going to be ready to go no matter who's over there.
Yep.
And they give Baker Mayfield plenty of time. Okay, it is just he makes sandwiches back there sometimes. He doesn't like the pocket too much, which we'll go over in a second, but he loves to make some sandwiches back there, right? He just look at all this time. He just. You know, look at this room he's got, right? All that room in the pocket he has. And they're just, I mean, Willis probably is the biggest weakness, but I mean, all these other guys are pretty standout. 66 as well. I mean, he's a young player. I mean, you can attack the guys from the outside, but inside they're pretty legit. I mean, they have a really good offensive line. So Jarvis Landry is one of my underrated receivers in the league to me. He just gets open. As you see right here, I'm going to bring it back. Plus his route one more time, man. He just works people in the slot. So he's going to be a big handle for Nate Hobbs, is Jarvis Landry, right? Because he's going to do you in the slot. He can win outside too. Here's sticks once again. Tell you the same look. Here's sticks again. But this time we're going to see a nice little route from Jarvis Landry. And Baker Mayfield has a good connection with him. See, Baker Mayfield anticipates to get out, gets it out quick. I mean, it's not the greatest throw in the world. But I mean, he got it out there, Jarvis Landry, and I love this route right here. Look at this, ugh, nasty. Oof. And he's not super sexy. He's not like Davante Adams. It's just like a fundamental route. You know what I mean? It's just like fundamental. It's just like if you design the route how it's supposed to be run, that's Jarvis Landry. You know what I mean? It's not too much wiggle. It's just perfectly run. But you know, and then there's the man here, Baker Mayfield, right? Which I expect to play. But I talked about it. He's gonna play. I really feel like he's gonna play this game. And you just gotta keep him in the pocket because he likes to get out. He's not a fan. He's not a big fan of the pocket. He's just not. So, you know, let's go back to this. Watch this real quick. You know what I'm saying? He does a good job, you know, just getting out. He has a good feel of pressure. He does have a good feel of pressure, so he's not going to fumble or do things like that. But you just want to keep him in the pocket because he doesn't like it, right? So, you see, you know, he can feel it. And he can get out, right? So, that's kind of what he wants to do. He doesn't want to stay in the pocket very long. He wants to get out and make a play. Right, so but I want to show this play, right? Because stop it right here. Let's go back. So you see how the Ravens play this, right? They show blitz, right? But they end up just kind of rushing three, and then you see Owe, right, number 99. He's gonna kind of do a spy. So they're rushing three, playing a spy, right? So then once they beat 66, right, and you know Mayfield, like I said, he has good feel in the pocket. He does. Right, so he's able to get out, but here comes Owe, right? He's got to get rid of the football. So you want to contain him. You want to keep him in the pocket. That's what you want to do. Because, I mean, even sometimes in the pocket, I mean, there's some elements to Baker where you can see why he was the number one pick in the draft. Right there, this is a great throw. I really like this throw right here. Step up in the pocket, get rid of it early, good anticipation, right to the guy who he thought he doesn't need anymore. I mean, watch the tape. You clearly did this guy. He definitely would have helped you down the stretch here a little bit, maybe, in my opinion. Maybe just work out with them outside of practice. I don't know. You just get that timing down. But this is what I'm saying. Right here, boom, good timing. You see him climb the pocket there. It's really nice. Yeah, I mean, so the talent's there. Like, you can't sleep on him. That's kind of what I'm trying to get. You, like, do not sleep on Baker Mayfield, all right? Because if you sleep on him, he can beat you. You want to plan to beat him like he's a pro quarterback, because he is. He's a legitimate NFL quarterback, right? I think he's a legitimate top 15 starter. And, you know, you see by these throws right here, it's a good throw, right? And he hits that honey hole right in the cover two. He sees it. It's just he's just not a fan of the pocket. He's just not a fan. But, like you're not just throwing the sail route right to Njoku, right? A little bit throw under pressure. See, it's a nice throw right there on time. Right. So, I mean, if he's on time in rhythm, he can make some good throws. But sometimes he's just inaccurate outside the numbers. That's what you want to get him doing. That's why you want to get him to throw, because if he keeps throwing, he's going to give you some. And you see kind of right here why he's a little wide in the base. See that? Look at that. It's kind of the same thing that happened in college. He hasn't really fixed that wide base he's got. And then he anticipates this and he. One, another thing, you don't anticipate the Odell Beckham. You got to let him do his little wiggles and ugly. This is like, he did an unnecessary, like, he's not supposed to do that. He's supposed to just be out the break. That's what Mayfield's expecting. And then he also throws a pick, but it still is a bad throw anyways. Right? And then you see him kind of here with Jarvis Landry. He's trying to anticipate this throw. It's good, you know, he anticipates it, right? But then it's just that wide base again, and it's just ugly. Just threw it right to the corner, even though it was good timing and everything. But sometimes he just has that base. And, like, I want to show this play again because I really like what the Ravens did here. So the Ravens like to run this blitz where they run this against the Raiders, right? Where they kind of overload this side and they come over here and, you know, they kind of overload and kind of create a 3-on-5 matchup. Right. But the Ravens did a little something different, because this is what I was talking about, keep him in the pocket. So let's watch this. So they get that same look, but they all don't come, right? They kind of just like slow rush it. It's a slow rush. They're not really blitzing. They're keeping him in the pocket. Because, like I said, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like getting there. Because if he gets out of the pocket, look, there's 36. He's about to come over here. So he's got to come back up, right? And he doesn't like it. So he resets and he makes a terrible decision. So that's the key. The key is to keep him in the pocket. And, you know, I just want to talk about, like, some of the other receivers. They're not getting the separation that, you know, you really want to see from these teams. So, you know, that's really what the Browns are at this point. You know, they're a running football team. But you just can't really sleep on Baker Mayfield, all right? Can't really just sleep on him. You can't let him just kind of sit back there and do what he wants to do and kind of move and get out of the pocket. You got to be ready for him, right? And you got to keep him in there. Make sure that he is in there and make him go through his reads because he's uncomfortable staying in there for a long period of time. One of the reasons I think is because he's short, right? So since he's short and he hasn't figured out how to, you know, do the Drew Brees thing, which is like stand on your toes, or do the Russell Wilson thing, which is like find a lane, find your lanes to throw to, and find your perfect lanes to throw whenever you want to, whatever you want to do, right? Or if you find, or like Kyler Murray, who's, you know, he found his lane when he was like 15. He figured out how to find lanes when he was playing at 5'5 in Texas with a bunch of NFL offensive tackles. You have to figure out how to find your lanes. And I don't think Baker Mayfield has really done that. And I think that's kind of why he doesn't like staying in the pocket. And that's why you want to keep him in there. Because if you can slow rush him and you really don't want to try to sack him and like get crazy and, you know, strip the ball or whatever. You want to keep him in there and make him like go through his reads and really, you know, play the quarterback position. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like it's what you really want him to do. So.
Yeah. I mean, you also showed some interesting things that I'll comment on. It looked like the Ravens were playing three deep safeties against him in some of those clips where he was struggling. Like a near interception and I think a sack that he, or the away pressure that he threw the ball away. They're doing some things back there in the secondary that if you don't respect that quarterback, you don't do those things. Just play your thing, right? If you don't respect that quarterback, but if you respect that quarterback, you think, okay, there's a chance that he can make something happen here. That's when you get into a three deep safety look and your defense is really hard to understand what's happening to confuse that quarterback. So I think, you know, just from that, it looked like teams would definitely respect him. You also, it's just like glaring. These guys are getting no separation, right? His receivers. And if you're telling me he's short back there, so he's having a hard time finding passing lanes, I would also argue when he is getting that glimpse, it's a not open, right? Yeah. So he's like, I have to buy more time, right? He's in a tough situation as far as like trying to, you know, win passing the ball. Definitely level of difficulty is a little higher for him. Jarvis Landry also, I don't think is a guy who can get consistently open from every spot. Yeah, he's going to win underneath and in the slot, but it's about just like tackling him, you know? Yeah. Like he's going to have like 10 catches for like 30 yards. You know, that's his stat line. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, of course I say that and he'll go off for like 100 yards against the Raiders. Right. But, exactly. But I'm just saying like, he's not a game breaker, but he's how they move their chains with Jarvis Landry, you know, but other than that in the passing game, like it's a non-factor. It comes down to the run game. It's going to be really interesting. You've shown 12 personnel looks, what the Raiders do, if they're going to stay in base all game, like Paul Gunther did, you know, in previous years going up against this team, when they are, you know, like when they're built the way they are in terms of their run game, their zone scheme, you know. So I'm anticipating a bunch of base, and if there's a bunch of base, that means I don't know how much Nate Hobbs we're really going to see, right? And then also, it's really going to come down to, is Denzel Perryman back? Because if it's Corey Littleton having to play middle linebacker up against this like heavy run team, there's a really good chance they're going to run right all over us.
Yeah. And that's their plan anyways. I mean, that's their plan for every game, is to run all over you. I mean, that's what they want to do. I mean, they're not trying to pass the football. I mean, that's not their goal. Their goal is not to do the, you know, let's step back and, you know, do the drops. What's going to happen is it'll be the first play of the game, they're going to hand the ball off. I mean, probably a lot of the first downs, they're going to hand the ball off. I mean, that's what you have to stop the run first. You have to get them in third and longs. You know, you have to get them in those situations, because if they're in the third and shorts, I mean, they'll probably try to do a lot of sticks. Maybe if they do a throw on first down, that's why I was showing the sticks. You know, I hope the Raiders are ready for that. I mean, they have to be ready for those type of things. And maybe they switch to a little cover two or something and try to switch it up or do something to kind of be ready for, that type of, I don't know, something, some kind of trap coverage they could work in there to kind of get ready for those type of stick looks where they can, you know, jump on those. Because, I mean, it's all over the tape. And, like, even the deep.
They're not going to jump it. They're not going to jump it, bro. They don't jump it. They don't jump.
I'm just wishing. I'm wishing over here.
You're wishing. They're going to play cover three 93% of the snaps. Guaranteed.
I know, because he's probably not going to respect Baker Mayfield like that. He's probably not going to give, like, Baker Mayfield the Gus Bradley has. He's, like, respect.
I just think it's, like, the passing game isn't something that, you know, you'd have to throw a bunch of coverages at.
Honestly. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I don't know. You know, they just got to be ready for those looks, I think. Yeah. You got to be ready for those plays when they see those the 12 personnel, either it's a run or it sticks, you know what I mean? And you have to be kind of ready for that type of, you know.
I think Devon Diablo is going to be out there, and I think that this is going to be a big game for him. This is an offense that likes to get bunches and stacks, play action. You got crossing routes. That's a weak side linebacker in this defense. Mm-hmm. Devon Diablo, that's going to be it's going to be a big game for him. And we're going to find out how ready he is to, like, take that step as a starter. I'm hoping that he plays. I'd like to see what he's got. You know, we know we've got in Littleton at this point. And I don't know if he's going to have that physicality that you need, honestly, to play in this game against the run. You know, you're showing me that guy 30. Okay. He looked pretty good. How tall is he? He's like 6 feet.
Who?
The other Browns running back.
I don't know how tall he is, bro. I have no idea.
He looks good. He looks like a real back, real NFL back, like pretty good stuff. So the Raiders are gonna have a handful. Linebackers gonna have to come play. Mm. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about here before we switch
over? No, man. You know, I think the Raiders defense just has to be ready for the run game. I think if they stop the run, they can control this game. I mean, that's really at the end of the day. If you stop the run, because that's what the Bears did, even though Justin Fields got demolished. I mean, the Bears were still in that game the whole time because they controlled their run game, right? And then made them beat them through the air. And they were able to control the game, okay? And that's what they have to do. And the Raiders' run defense is pretty good, man. I mean, they're 16th in DVOA, and the Football Outsiders are against the run. They're pretty efficient against the run. I think when they want to stop the run, they get KJ Wright. I don't know if Perryman's good. I don't think Perryman's playing right.
I don't know yet. We're gonna find out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, he got a better chance with the game being pushed back. You know, they definitely are gonna need him. You know, that big touchdown that Kansas City scored last week is because, you know, in my opinion, because Perryman wasn't in on the ground. So, I think we're gonna find out. But the defense does stop the run situationally.
Yeah,
it stops the run. When they want to, you know, it's like when they don't really want to, and they just want to rush the quarterback, that's when you see some of these teams that don't usually rush for a bunch of yards all of a sudden have like 120 yard back or something like that against the Raiders. It's because they're like, eh, we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think
this game. Yeah.
That's why I think this game they're going to do well and stop the run. Because, I mean, that's why they were able to slow down Washington too, because they were like, okay, if we stop the run and, you know, and we stop Terry, we can hold them. So,
right.
I mean, it's really it's kind of the same way with me. Like if you can stop the run, you can control Jarvis Landry, then it's gonna be hard for them to move football.
Yeah, it's easier said than done with this great blocking scheme and these great backs.
Yeah, they got like the great zone back of all, like whether like Kyle Shanahan is trying to figure out how he can trade for Nick Chubb every single time he watches his film. how many first round picks? John, what do you think for Nick Chubb? How many? You'd give him like $50 million, bro. He just hand it off to him all the time.
All right.
Anyway,
he'd also easily have $2,000. You know, he'd be in the 2,000 yard rushing club with Shanahan for sure.
Crazy.
All right. Here, let's shoot it over to an ad, and then we will get back over to defense. Let's jump into this. I'm going to talk about the defense here. You know, for this game, you know, what we're going to be seeing here is a really good use of zone spacing. Okay. And what I mean by zone spacing is this team is really disciplined on the back end. Okay. And I'll show you an example here. They're playing cover three buzz. This is a curl flat defender. Watch where he is. He's at the very top of the numbers. Curl flat defender over here, top of the numbers. Hook player on the hash. This hook player on the hash. Everyone is on their landmark. It's not by accident. It's by design. Okay. And it allows for a team to be able to squeeze these zones here when you stick to your landmarks and you play that read and react style of football. You can squeeze these zones, make tough passing windows, and they do a great job of getting in the passing windows, this defense here, okay? So this is another example. You see everyone kind of stick to their landmarks again, top of the numbers, hash, right? So we see great discipline, doesn't matter who's really out there. And, you know, what happens is, it leads to a Lamar Jackson guy sack. And you see him, he's looking across the field here. We got these guys staying patient back in this passing window instead of someone coming up here and jumping on this. That would be real easy, right? Instead of jumping it, they stay back here in that passing window. Lamar Jackson's trying to find it here. He's trying to find it here. He ends up taking a sack. Okay, trying to wait because the linebacker does such a good job just sitting back there in that passing window, okay? And they do this. This is all over the tape. Okay, here's another one. Okay, I want you to watch these linebackers again. Where are we at? Top of the numbers. Hash. They do it every single time. Great discipline on this team, okay? And you see this linebacker sitting back in here, waiting, okay? Not jumping up here and trying to come up and get this easy money right here. Sitting back and being patient, okay? Maybe Lamar takes that. He has no option but to run it, obviously. We're not going to see Derek Carr doing much of that in terms of like running for, you know, a bunch of yards or anything. So this is going to hurt him. And then you see again here, this linebacker, what does he see in his field of vision? Does he jump this? No, he doesn't jump this. He stays back here in the passing window, do a great job staying disciplined. What does he do? He gets a pick, you know, pass breakup for an interception right there. Okay, here's another one. This time they're in a too high look. Okay, and you see John Johnson, okay, I think he does a great job of playing this technique to make it look like he's not going to actually, get back deep here and bait this quarterback into throwing over the top of him over here. And you see John Johnson peel off on this. Okay, so they do it also in the secondary. It's not just the second level. It's not just the linebackers who can do it. It's also the secondary, okay? And, you know, yeah, that's just another example of a great play that they made. And really the whole story about this defense is the pass rush. It comes down to Myles Garrett. Here he is over here. He's just, you know, he's just an animal. He's just a beast. I was talking about him earlier. You see him get chipped. He's getting double teamed, throws him off inside move, just body slams the quarterback. Like, what is this? Okay. Like he was blocked by three different defenders on that. Still gets a quick inside wind sack. Okay. Here he is over here. Again, here's an idea. Probably don't just lose your feet on the ground and try to cut block this guy, because he's going to kill your quarterback if you do that. You know, word for the wise. Okay. And it's not just rushing the passer, which he is really good at. Okay. You're going to see him also here, vision on the quarterback. You see his eyes. He's looking at the quarterback. He's going to get his hand up, you know, get a piece of that ball, force an interception right there. Great job. And then, you know, here's another one right here where, again, he's always maintaining that vision on the quarterback, fights through that and gets a little bit on that, takes it off, you know, makes it an inaccurate pass because of just the fingertip that he gets on it. Okay. So he's a disruptive, super disruptive player, but it's not just Myles Garrett. Okay. This whole team is like they all got pass rushers, and who knows who's going to be in, who knows who's going to be out. Okay. But it's not just, it's not just Myles Garrett. 58 can rush the passer. Jadeveon Clowney, obviously, he can rush the passer. This is a really good team of pass rushers. Now, I would say the Patriots had the best game plan for handling the pass rush and Myles Garrett specifically, okay? And what they did was they just a bunch of screens, a bunch of draws. We're going to get a little draw here. We're going to get a cut block and then a draw. Myles Garrett has no chance really to make an impact play on this. They're just going to keep these guys at home, keep them from peeling their ears back. Okay, you have to. They're just going to, you know, get the ball out super quick, okay? So their game plan really was to just take this pass rush, take a little bit off this pass rush, and you're going to see him here run a little reverse. Anything that they can do to make Myles Garrett stay at home, they did it, okay? And they prevented him from taking over that game as a result, okay? But still, easier said than done, really. You know what I'm saying? Here, let me get up out of there. All right, cool. Easier said than done. Myles Garrett is a beast, but, you know, we've seen him take over games, you know, and judging off of what you were showing us last week about how the Raiders offensive line was handling, you know, the Chiefs defensive line, I'm worried, really, because this is a really great defensive line.
Yeah.
And it is a spot drop team on the back end, but they're very disciplined and they're very athletic. Okay. And if you look at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I'm watching it and I'm like, man, they're dying personnel a lot. Like they got this 28 guy down here, you know, safety in the box. Right. And I'm watching it for like almost the whole game. And then I realized that that's actually JOK, the linebacker. Right. And I'm like, okay, like their linebackers have speed. Like these guys are there to stop the pass. You know what I'm saying? Number four, I think he might be out of the game with COVID as well. But his pass coverage was fantastic. I believe his name is Walker. I think it's like Kenneth Walker. I think he's a linebacker. But his zone drops were really good. They're not like great against the run, those linebackers. They're there to stop the pass. Because when that pass rush heats up, it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be tough to really start running the ball if this team gets ahead on you. And what, you know, really what I came away with is thinking like, this is a better version of the Raiders defense. It's a more talented on the back end. Okay. You got more impact players in the second level. And pass rush is better. I mean, you can't say Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, the list goes on with these defensive ends. That's not a better pass rush. That's like a better pass rush than basically anyone in the league, you know, in terms of edge rush. So, this team has, you know, this team is good. If you let them be good, you know, it's really going to have to come down to be playing really smart football against them because they are so disciplined.
Yeah. I mean, these games, man, I mean, this is a run the football game. This is really what this is. This is a run the football game. The Raiders have to find a way. They have to find a way to run the football. I don't know if Jacobs isn't trusting the line, then they got to get David Barber gone. I mean, that's what they got to do. I mean, maybe get some Trey Regis gone. They got to switch it up. I mean, maybe they got to trust some of these young guys. I mean, Trey Regis had a pretty decent run last week late in the game. I mean, Peyton Barber did too. You know, the same offensive line. I know they're playing against the Chiefs twos or whatever, but I mean, they got to get some of these, you know, other players, other running backs going. I mean, they can't just depend all on Jacobs. If Jacobs is not getting it done, they got to give these other backs a chance. I mean, I feel like they're like Jacobs, because Rick's out. Like, nah, man, you got to kind of let that go. And you got to get these other backs a little run. You got to get Peyton Barber a little run, and maybe even get Trey Regis a little run if you like Trey Regis, especially if they need to, you know, do some of these, you know, type of running stuff that they have to do, because they got to mix it up. They can't just depend on Josh Jacobs. And that's my opinion on this game. If they do that and he's not doing well and they keep trying to depend on him because it's going to be cold and, you know, it's going to be windy and nobody's really going to be able to pass the football, right? It's not going to be an efficient passing day for anybody, right? So, I mean, they're going to have to make some big throws at some points, but, I mean, they're going to have to try to keep this game close and, you know, to the point where, you know, the quarterback has a chance to win at the end. I mean, that's they're not going to have to try to blow this game out. I mean, I don't think this game is going to take that way. I think they got to just keep this game close and, you know, they just got to, you know, go ahead and let it go. So,
I agree. They're going to have to run the ball a lot. And I agree. It's questionable. But I think Peyton Barber, if he's active, I think, you know, he can also be a good option against this team. I think, you know, we've seen him be efficient because you got to be efficient on the ground against them. Because you have to run the ball against this pass rush. You have to run the ball. So even when it's like, oh, why are they still running it, you know, and stuff like that, it's like, no, you got, like, Myles Garrett will literally draw Derek Carr on his head. Okay, like, you can't let that happen. Yeah. So you got to run the ball, right? But I think, hold on, we can jump into something else. Is there something floating around out there about Marcus Mariota potentially starting this game? Is that just a rumor?
No, that was on Tierney and Tiki. So what happened was Tiki and Tierney, said there's been rumblings that Marcus Mariota was going to play or something like that. But basically, he was just chastising one of the Raiders fans for wanting Derek Carr to stay on the team. basically, you know, because, I mean, what is a rumbling, though? I mean, Paul Gutierrez for ESPN has been dying for Marcus Mariota to play for the longest. But so,
you know, I would just say if that did happen, it would be to not get Carr hurt. Like, that's what it would be about. Like, yeah. we saw what the offensive line was about, and now they're going up against even a better defensive line this week. So if they do bench Carr, it's not because, like, they think Marcus Mariota has a better chance. It's, like, literally just to, like, protect potentially, like, what could be a part of, you know, a trade potentially in the future, or if, you know, Mark Davis really wants to keep Derek Carr, maybe he's, like, calling, you know, Bisaccia, and is like, hey, don't put him out there. I don't want Carr to get hurt. He's part of the future here. Maybe that's Mark Davis saying that. Who knows? So that would be my gut reaction because, yeah.
What I would say to that is, I mean, but what about Marcus Mariota? I mean, what about him? That's what I would say about that. Like, what about his future? I mean, everybody just wants to throw him out there and just like, oh, so he can entertain us and run around. But, I mean, he takes a lot of sacks. And, you know, even when he had a good offensive line, I mean, he took 45 sacks a couple years ago. Everybody loves PFF offensive line grades, top nine offensive line. He's going to take sacks. And then, you know, especially with the interior pressure of this team, he's going to start bailing. He's not going to feel it. And then, like, the last game that he played, he was only under pressure 5 times, you know, out of his 28 dropbacks. So that's why he played so well. And, you know, he's run this offense before. So, I mean, it's nothing really new to see. I mean, if you really want to go watch it, go to 2018 and watch the Tennessee Titans. But, I mean, what about him? We just want to throw him out there for our entertainment because you don't like Derek Carr. That's kind of how I feel like.
Right? He's got to have a current resume. He's got to have a current resume.
No, you got 2020 tape, bro. That's all you got. I mean, why
not? Yeah, he has one game.
No, he's got some zone reads.
Okay.
He's got some zone reads, some first downs.
Yeah.
He's got tape.
So he's got tape from this year.
Like, what about him? Like, we just want to throw him out there and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Zay Jones is not magically going to get open. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a 3-step drop guy, so they got to go back to 5 and 7-step drops, and they got to change the offense a little bit.
You can't do that against.
You're gonna get him killed. And then when he gets hit too, which a lot of people don't know, when he gets hit, he kind of starts just bailing and just. He's not going through the play and all that stuff. So, you know what I mean? The people just never watched him, but they just want to get him killed too. That's how I feel like. You're going to get him killed too. Like, people, they just want to be entertained, which is fine. Fine. You want to be entertained. You want to watch a guy run around and
any chance this offense.
That's fine. That's fine. That's what you want to do. You want to be entertained. That's cool. I'm cool with that. But what about him? I don't know.
Any chance this offensive line has, like, sacks up and plays a lot better than we're expecting?
No. I mean, this week?
Yeah, this week.
Maybe. I don't know. It all depends on their game plan, man. I mean, they have to.
Got a game plan. Yeah. Yeah.
What happened is, I mean, that's what they're doing, all these screens and stuff and these 3-step drops, because they're trying to keep the offensive line from getting beat up, because John Gruden just didn't care at the beginning of the year. He was like, we're going to do 5 to 7-step drops. Let's go. That's what we're going to do. You know, Derek, you have to deal with it, right? And, you know, it led to a lot of big plays, but at this point in time, they can't do that. So, I mean, if they try to go to that 3-step drop, or, you know, try to go to 5 and 7, they're going to be in trouble. They got to run the football. That's the answer. So, but.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, hey, we're coming up on an hour right now. I'm going to have to close down this show before my wife starts coming in here and starts screaming at me. All right, guys. Raider Nation, we appreciate everyone for tuning in to the Tape Don't Lie Raiders film channel. Make sure you also cop the Tape Don't Lie gear at the Bonfire website. Marcus is repping TDL right now. You can show everyone that you're the smartest Raiders fan that they know, repping the TDL gear. Also, make sure you visit Manscaped for 20% off plus free shipping by entering the promo code TDL at the checkout. That's it, Raider Nation. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. I'll let you.
Peace.